Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're betting the NFL playoffs, you need to be listening to Cash the Ticket. We're breaking down every single game, totals, and sides, all the way to the big game. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
G&D here on The Fan, Tobias Funke, a.k.a. Toby Altheiser, in for Grant H. Paulson, who is home with the flu. We're live at Uptown Alley here in Manassas. This place is awesome. People are packing the joint, eating delicious foodstuffs, having all sorts of fun. You can do whatever the hell you want here. You can bowl, play video games, eat food, watch the circus animals, a.k.a. Toby and me, whatever butters your biscuit. We love it here. Come on out and see us here till 6:30. As Washington continues to build the foundation of success on and off the field this season, it's time for you to plan for your future as well. It's the exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm of Condori and Morod, can help you update your last will and testament or set up a revocable trust for you and your family. Schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today by visiting kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them the Grant Nanny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. It's time to talk about the local 53 on the Blitz, Darius. My God, that's Denton Day's music. Denton, before I ask you a legitimate football question, what are you doing tomorrow?
Danny, I'm hanging out with the best fans. We're going to be at Honor Brewing in Sterling. It's like 10 minutes from where I grew up. You know, the Pride of Freedom High School, South Riding, it's like right down the street. So it's going to be a great time. It's my neck of the woods. And I think me and a bunch of our favorite friends, Danny, are going to be out there hanging out and potentially seeing the Commanders get their first NFC championship since 91.
Yeah, that's what's on the line. No big deal. They're the underdog, and they should be, right? Detroit is excellent. Write me the script. We talked about this at the top of the show, but write me the Denton Day script for a win.
Well, it starts and ends with Jaden Daniels, right? That's kind of been the script for the final, 18 games, if you will, for this Commanders team. But what it really comes down to is kind of following the same game plan that they did against Tampa Bay. If they get two drives that are longer than 7.5 minutes and they both result in touchdowns, I have a pretty good feeling about how this one is going to go. Your best defense is keeping that Detroit offense as far away from the football field as possible. I think Jaden's going to have the best game of his career. And I know he had a 5-touchdown performance against Philadelphia, but in order for Washington to win this weekend, he needs to go absolutely crazy. And as a guy that I've seen multiple times perform under the big lights, I think he's going to do just that.
Denton, who's going to step up in the De'Ami Brown role this week? Someone outside of Terry, outside of Jaden, that's going to step up on the offense?
I think it's going to be De'Ami Brown. I think the De'Ami Brown role is now just going to be De'Ami Brown. I think I love the way that they utilized him, Toby, this past weekend, and I think this one's a little personal. You know, Amon Ross St. Brown dissed him heavy the last time these two teams played. He said he didn't remember his name. I was like, buddy, we've all seen the 15 different specials you've done where you recite every guy that was named in front of you, but you forget his name at the end of the presser at that? I don't think so. I think De'Ami Brown has a point to prove this weekend. I think he has another stellar performance. I love the way they used him last week. I hope it continues this upcoming weekend.
Yeah, Amon Ross St. Brown says names before he goes to bed at night, like Arya Stark, Denton, if you know your Game of Thrones. Defensively, every time I look at this, I don't know what the answer is. I have no idea how you stop them. Nobody has. Nobody really has stopped them consistently. You kind of got to hope that they implode or mess up or, they run out of time or who knows what. Can this defense do enough? I'm not talking about a stop. I'm not talking about being the 2000 Ravens or 85 Bears or in the Legion of Boom Seahawks teams. Can this defense do enough disruptive to maybe force a punt, get a turnover, to get it back to their offense, which is where this game's going to be won?
I think the answer to that question is yes, Danny. They're not going to be the 2000 Ravens, 85 Bears. I don't think we're going to see a vintage, Daron Payne in a contract year performance where he is just destroying the interior line of scrimmage. I don't think that's going to be the case. But I do think there is enough there on defense to, at the very least, stop them twice. And when I say stop them, I mean hold them out of the end zone twice. If you can hold them out of the end zone twice, I think you give your offense a really good opportunity to do the rest of the heavy lifting. And now, if they stop them just from scoring, period, a three and out here, you know, just maybe a six-play drive that ends in a punt, maybe Dan Campbell gets a little too aggressive, goes for it on fourth down, and you stop them, all of that is possible. But really what it comes down to, fellas, if you just stop them from scoring a touchdown twice, I think you put yourself in a position to win this one.
Defensively, which of these guys scares you? I mean, they've got so many dudes on offense. We talked earlier with Kirk Morrison talking about slowing down the run game. Jahmyr Gibbs, I think, is going to be having a big game. Monty's back. I mean, they've got so many dudes. Who are you keying in on that, you know, that you think could be the X factor for Detroit if they're going to win, that Washington needs to slow down?
They got to stop. They got to stop. Honestly, fellas, they got to stop Jameson Williams. If you can run
That's
the football
fine.
And
yep.
hit the deep shot, you're done. Like, this is not going to be a game. They're going to score 50 on you, and we're going to be crying on Monday. But if you can stop the downfield threat that he presents, that Amon-Ra presents, but really Jameson Williams, that dude's a burner. If you can stop him and stop that downfield threat, keep everything in front of you, at the very least, you give yourself the ability to be a bend-don't-break defense.
Denton, offensively for Washington, Toby kind of hinted at this, but you can't afford any slip-ups, and I'm worried about the crowd noise. Not necessarily Jaden Daniels missing a signal. He played in Death Valley every weekend. The loudest environment imaginable. It's inside of a jet engine. But communication-wise, looking at some of the blitz and different looks that Aaron Glenn's going to try to trick you with, it's sort of like from the Todd Bowles school, basically trying to force one turnover knowing that that's probably enough for his offense. Are you concerned at all about the environment?
Yes, but no, because I think you mentioned it. I mean, Jaden played in Death Valley. He played in Tuscaloosa, and I think because he is the leader on offense, everybody kind of falls in line with him, which is a really great place to be considering what he has done in hostile environments so far this year. I think it's going to be loud. I think they should expect for it to be loud. It's going to be a raucous environment. It's going to be a great environment. Like, if you just take our fandom out of this, it's going to be popping in Detroit, and I can't wait for that. But I don't think that's going to be as much of an issue because of the guy that you have at quarterback. I think Biotish is going to do a great job at the line of scrimmage. We've seen how important he has been over the course of the last few weeks of the regular season. I think they'll be okay in that regard.
Denton, both of these guys like to go for it on fourth down. Do you think that's something that's going to work in both teams' favor, or do you think it's going to hurt one of these teams on tomorrow night?
Well, I really hope it works in the team's favor with burgundy and gold, and I really hope that Dan Campbell shoots himself in the foot a couple of times. I think if there is a guy that is going to do more damage than good, it does feel like it's going to be Dan Campbell because he is balls to the wall. We are going to go for it. We are going to be aggressive for the sake of being aggressive. I mean, this is a guy, when they played Buffalo a couple weeks ago, he tried an onside kick with 12 minutes left. Like, buddy, you can't be that aggressive all the time. So I think if there's one team that is going to be on the bad side of the aggressiveness, it would be Dan Campbell of the Lions.
Denton, have a great pregame show tomorrow, buddy. Thanks for joining us, man. Appreciate it.
Appreciate it, fellas. I'll see everybody down at Brewing. Can't wait.
There he goes. That is Denton Day. Kevin Sheehan Show and pregame tomorrow with Linnell Willingham at Honor Brewing. Let's talk a little puck, please, super quick.
Washington Capitals.
That's Ethan Cadeau's music. He will talk about the Caps from last evening. Some guy, he's a newer player, Ethan. How do you pronounce his name? Is it Ovechkin? Ovechkin? I've heard his name a couple of times. Seems like a bright young prospect. Shtick aside, oh my God, how cool was that?
Yeah, that was awesome. I mean, this whole season has been kind of insane, honestly. After last year, him scoring 31 goals in 79 games. We didn't really know which Ovi we were going to get this year. For him to be scoring at the highest rate of his career is insane, one, considering he's doing that at 39, and two, last night, I mean, one shot, one shift in overtime, that's all it took for the win. That was awesome to see in an otherwise probably pretty boring game, at least the first two periods.
Yeah, what was going on last night? The offense wasn't great, obviously great defending, didn't give up a goal, but what was going on with the offense that they weren't able to get any real quality chances until that overtime period?
Yeah, I don't think it's just a last night thing. It's something that's kind of been going on for the last 12, 15 games, and Spencer Carberry has talked about it enough. I mean, this team, like, at the beginning of the year, the first month, they're scoring over 4 goals a game. That's obviously not sustainable over an 82-game season, but now it's kind of, they're just struggling to hold the puck for a long period of time. They've been really good defensively. Obviously, they're on a 9-game point streak, which is great, but offensively, there are definitely some concerns. It's dragged on where it's not really so much of a slump anymore. It's just kind of who they are, and hopefully after the Four Nations break in a couple weeks, they can kind of get back to that team they were when the season started. But I think yesterday was just the latest game of kind of who they are right now. They're going through a little bit of a scoring drought, especially 5-on-5. But, I mean, if you're picking up points, winning games like you did last night, still at the top of the table, I mean, there's not too much you can complain about.
Ethan, I think I got this number right, and I apologize if I'm off by a goal or two, but I think the point stands. Between Washington, then Redskins, now the stupid new name, whatever, between Washington playoff football wins, Alex Ovechkin scored 848 goals. I think I've got that number correct. Just sort of quantifying, is that the right number?
Yeah, that's correct.
I don't really have a great question about that other than, oh, my God. Like, just quantify this for us. Like, just to give an idea, it's bad for one, amazing for the other.
Yeah, it's, I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know if it tells you more about how good Ovi has been or how poor the Commanders have been the last,
both.
What was it, 20 years? I mean, kind of thinking of that, how rough is this for Saturday night? We don't know how many more Ovi-Sid games we're going to get, but it's an hour before the Commanders' first divisional playoff game since 2005. So I feel like the DC sports fans are kind of put in a pickle here. But, yeah, I mean, that's an incredible streak. Obviously, both teams are the two teams talked about the most in the city right now, and hopefully the Commanders can continue doing what they're doing and Ovi can continue to score goals and keep things exciting around these parts.
Be fun for everyone involved. Ethan, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Appreciate you guys.
See you, my friend. Let's go back to the Local 53, Darius.
The Washington Commanders.
Our guy, Nick Akridge, Pro Football Focus, to help break down this matchup where Washington is a huge underdog.
Nick, how do they slow down this run game for the Lions? It's going to be a big part of Washington potentially getting a win. How do they slow it down?
Yeah, Bobby Wagner's got to be special. You know, he's been one of the best linebackers in the NFL this entire year, and that's kind of mostly because he's really been saving the interior of the defensive line when they make mistakes. So you're going to need a special Bobby Wagner game. You're going to need Frankie Louvu to make some plays, whether that's off the edge or in the box. But that's kind of the key, is the linebackers have to play kind of out of the world.
Nick, you're a youthful, smart person, so I want you to explain to me why I'm incorrect here. The paradigm, and I hear a lot, I've heard it from Tobes, I've heard it from some of our guests, I've heard it from a lot of fans, is, and I understand it, you got to slow down the run, you got to stop the run. I'm basically willing to say, this is me, Danny Ruggie, unqualified to be defensive coordinator. If you want to hand it off, thank you. Because you're not ripping off 25, 30, 50-yard gains. You're not gadget playing me. You're not throwing it to Jameson Williams behind guys that can't cover him. You're not daggering me with Laporta and Tim Patrick at times. And Amon Ross St. Brown and this passing game that I don't think I can stop. I'm way more terrified of big plays in the passing game than them matriculating down the field. If they want to take their time and run the ball, I say have at it, Haas. Tell me why I'm stupid.
The only reason, you know, that you would kind of want them to run the ball is more is it's harder to sustain drives if you're constantly running the ball all the way down the field. Mm-hmm. It's tougher offenses to, like I said, sustain it and then capitalize it on it in the red zone. So, yes, you want to limit the big explosive passes because that's how you quickly get down the field. So I'm kind of in agreement with you. Yes, they do need to stop the run and prioritize that, but I think, like, that is the biggest thing. Like, you just need, if they want to run the ball and they want to keep kind of slowly getting down the field, then I'm all for it. You just got to stop the explosive plays.
Sticking with the pass defense, Lattimore was not good last week against Mike Evans. What do you think they're going to do with him this week? And do you think it was just something of a little bit of rust and having a game under his belt? Now he's going to be back to a little more of what we're used to seeing from Marshawn Lattimore.
Yeah, I think last week was it was a tough watch, like you kind of mentioned, but I don't think he's fully healthy. I don't think that hamstring is fully healthy. Just kind of watching him, he was never very confident planting and kind of pushing off of it. He just didn't seem like the player that we've seen in New Orleans. So I'm hoping that it's just kind of chalking up to still kind of recovering from that hamstring injury. But, you know, I think if you're Washington's defense, you can't try to play man coverage with them and follow them across the field. You're going to have to switch things up. Detroit kills man coverage. They kill a lot of coverages, so it's just kind of the lesser of two evils there. But I think you kind of, you know, you work with Sandersville and Lattimore on each side, and I don't think you have someone follow, you know, a Jameson Williams and or an Amon Ross St. Brown who plays in the slot a ton. So, yeah, I think the whole kind of defensive gameplay is really just hold on as long as you possibly can.
Nick, it hasn't mattered who their opponent's been, talking about Washington. they have not been able to work the traditional ground game. Now, it's been Jaden Daniels running the ball. It's kind of masked their, you know, how ineffective they've been. But Brian Robinson averaging sub 3 yards per carry, more than half the games here down the stretch. They have really struggled handling the football off, pitching it, running it in, out, whatever. Do you think anything improves this week, even though Detroit's, you know, obviously so banged up, they're missing a million guys on defense? Is there anything that might fix it? I'm not talking about being good like they were against Tennessee or really good first half of the year, but just good enough to help kind of take some of the pressure off. Do you see an improvement this week, or is it more of the same?
I hope so, and I think what you kind of said there was kind of spot on. Is you don't need them to constantly get 6, 7, 8 yards on every single run play, but you need better than one. And that's what we saw on against Tampa, and Jaden really saved them on a lot of run plays where they're getting contacted in the backfield. So it was kind of incredible that they were able to sustain drives like they were last week with pretty much no run game. So I don't see that sort of thing happening again this week. And like you said, you have to have some sort of run game. It can't just constantly be tackle in the backfield, tackle for no gain, or tackle for 1 yard. It's got to be something that can't just be Jaden, you know, making multiple people miss and getting 5, 6 yards. But you've got to have something. And like you said, there's no big Vita Vea in the middle for Detroit. But I think right now you just got to hope that it's better. And you just got to execute. Keep it kind of simple. Don't do anything too crazy. And hope guys can sustain some blocks.
Danny's been a big advocate for this guy, Austin Eckler. Do you think it's something where they get him more involved in the run game and just give him more touches overall to see if they can remedy that with just getting him more involved?
Yeah, I think it's been a huge thing for this offense. You know, before Eckler went out there, they're kind of two back packages with Eckler and Robinson in the backfield. Was honestly one of their most successful packages. Just kind of having the threat of both of them back there and not really sure who's getting the ball. I think that sort of threat was massive for this offense. And it's no kind of shot at Jeremy McNichols, but Eckler's been really good whenever he's got the ball in his hand. So like you said, they just got to use their weapons as best as they possibly can.
Nick, I'm going to run through a few different guys on this Washington offense, okay? I want you to tell me if you got to put it in a category. Big game from them, meaning bigger than we're used to. Average game, meaning kind of, you know, what their normal numbers are, or not impactful, meaning, you know, they're kind of below where you normally expect them, all right? I'll start here. Zach Ertz.
I would say, now is this for if I wanted to see, if I was seeing a win or just kind of what I think is going to happen?
What you think is going to happen?
I would say a kind of average game for Zach Ertz.
Austin Eckler.
I would say average as well.
Olamide Zaccheaus.
I could see a bigger game for him. I think one of those kind of secondary wide receivers is really going to have to step up. And I, again, Detroit plays a ton of man coverage, and he's been pretty good against sort of separating against that. So I could see Zaccheaus having a pretty good game.
Lastly, De'Ami Brown.
Same thing. I could see him having a big game. You got to win against man coverage. That's kind of the key to the game for me is who else other than Terry McLaurin can separate consistently against man coverage. So I think this game's going to be a lot closer than the spread says. So I would say that De'Ami has a good game as well.
You concerned at all that they're going to deploy the same sort of game plan they had against the Vikings? Obviously a different quarterback in Daniels compared to Darnold, but just blitz everybody, play man, and see what happens?
Yeah, I am. I think I don't know if I'm really concerned with it. I do think that's their strategy. It's been their strategy all year. But I think that Daniels is kind of better equipped for it. We saw it a little bit against Tampa. They did a pretty good job at picking up these blitzes. And it led to some pretty big gains, specifically the first third down conversion to Terry was them kind of communicating all along the offensive line and with Jaden picking up a blitz perfectly and hitting that big play. So I think them playing a ton of man coverage and blitzing kind of works in the favor of Washington. Again, Detroit struggled against scrambling quarterbacks. So if you make that one guy miss, if he's a free rusher, you've got big gains potentially. Quarterbacks running against kind of man coverage is another huge thing. So I think that if they kind of go with that game plan, which I think they will, I think that this offense can kind of keep up a little bit.
Nick, thank you, buddy. Enjoy the weekend.
Yeah, appreciate it. You guys have a good one.
There he goes. That is Nick Ackridge, Pro Football Focus. And that, my friends, is how we Beltway Blitz before a playoff game. Took a little message, took a little caps dosage in there to talk about Ovechkin, who now stands 20 goals shy of Wayne Gretzky for, I don't know, what is it? Oh, the number one all-time goal-scoring record in NHL history. He's 20 shy from tying the record. Now, I bet you got a playoff game tomorrow, though. Got that Washington football 53 against Detroit. They're underdogs. The computer simulations are not kind to Washington. The prognosticators are not kind to Washington. The people that get paid to bet on these games, not that kind to Washington. I ask you at 800-636-1067. Toby will tell you. I'll tell you. We'll have Darius tell you back in studio. Why do you believe? Why? What's got you confident? Why do you believe that Washington not only can but will win this football game to go to the conference championship for the first time since 1991? 800-636-1067. Why do you believe? Next on The Fan.
Thing I would say that stands out, and probably a good bit of it, Rick, comes from the quarterback spot of poise in those spots. And that comes from, you know, one, the work that you put in, and you can tell that he puts in the extra work. And we've had to be in some fights. So as a team that's still growing here, Red, I would say we haven't had great, you know, we haven't won all those tight matches. But, man, you got to be in those fights. You know, as you're getting into 13 wins, you think, man, there's some blowouts. Just the opposite, man. We've been in 8 or 9, 10, hell, I don't know, even more close fights. And as a coach, I couldn't be more pumped for that, because when it does get into those moments, we don't tighten up, man.
That's the voice of Dan Quinn, and that's my answer. Welcome back. Grant and Danny here on The Fan. Toby in for GP. We are at Uptown Alley in Manassas. The crowd is bumping. Food stuff being consumed. I've seen some people, and it's fine, with alcoholic beverages. I've seen that. That's okay, as long as you're of legal age, Toby. A couple years for you, you're almost there. 800-636-1067 is the phone number. Why do you believe? Before we bring John Jansen on, former Washington great, at 5 o'clock, they're underdogs. We're not doing this. We're not celebrating today a great season. We're not celebrating an opportunity to go to the NFC title game, because we all think they're going to get their butts kicked. There's a little voice inside you. Some people it's a shout, some people it's a whisper. I believe they can do this. So the question is simple. I'll get back to it. I just kind of teased my answer here. Toby, but why do you believe? 800-636-1067. What's got you thinking? You know what? They could do this.
Three times this season, they have not turned the ball over, not punted. You think about that game in Cincinnati, where they scored every time they touched the football. It's hard to lose when you score every time you touch the football. when you've got Jaden Daniels on your side, you've got the better quarterback going against, yeah, better team, but you've got the better quarterback, you've got a shot. And so when you've got an offense that has shown me throughout the season in different iterations, by the way, we've seen iterations that look incredibly unstoppable. We've seen iterations that can't run the football. We've seen iterations that are entirely dependent on Jaden Daniels. And they've done it in all those different ways. Right now, they're probably entirely dependent on Jaden Daniels. And he's gotten it done. And so outside of just saying a simple two-word answer of Jaden Daniels, Danny, I'll say this. The offense has shown me throughout the season that if they need to go win the football game, they can go win the football game. And by the way, it's not something where they just have to go put up 40. Last week, the defense did a good job and kept them in it, and the offense did a good job of controlling the game and holding the ball. But if you get the ball to Jaden Daniels in a one-possession game with a couple minutes on the clock to go win it or tie it, you feel confident he's going to get it done. And so my answer is this offense with Jaden Daniels gives me confidence they can go to Detroit and beat him.
Dan Quinn said it, 800-636-1067. But they didn't win all these games, okay? They didn't. They were in them, though. And here's the point. When you're talking about a young player, you're talking about a guy that's done this at the highest level, college football, obviously, but now in the National Football League, you got to experience some adversity. You got to take that mouth punch. You got to take the, this isn't going my way, and I know what the difference is from when it's bad to when it's good. They lost that Steelers game. You guys, go back to that. Remember that Steelers game. They score a touchdown, talking about Pittsburgh, scores with, I think, about 2 minutes left. They're kicking the ball off to Jaden Daniels in this offense. I think everybody thought they're going to go win the game. They may or maybe not should. I don't know. They got out-possessed. Pittsburgh was probably better for a lot of the game, but Washington had a lead. Everybody thought they're going to go down and win the game. They ended up not. Go down the stretch. Awkward game against the Giants both times. Right, you think about the Dallas game. I know that wasn't necessarily Daniels doing that, but you start adding up the New Orleans game. You add up the Atlanta game. You add up the Philadelphia game. You have the experience of what it takes both to win and to lose, and that's almost as valuable in both cases. This group is battle-tested. They are not scared of the tight one. They are not afraid of a moment that to a lot of teams and a lot of people, a lot of players, would be too big. They are, as Dan Quinn said, battle-tested. A lot of times, you sort of roll your eyes at that kind of stuff, where some guy, the coach of an 8-8 team, is like, we've been in a lot of close games. Like, well, yeah, because you're not that good, dude. You know what I mean? Like, you can't put anybody away. You're very mediocre. This is a good football team. They are. They're not great. They're not as good as Detroit is. That's not the contest. The contest isn't to see who has the better DVOA. The contest isn't to see analytically who's the best team. The contest isn't to see anything other than who scores more points on Saturday night. And I hate to be the hat-on-a-hat oversimplify Oklahoma drill guy, but here's the thing. When you suit up, you put the same laundry on as a bunch of other guys, put your cleats or turf shoes on, depending on your preference, and you go play, a bunch of weird stuff can happen, a bunch of adversity can strike, a lot of things can go on in a football game. And I believe in Washington's ability to either take advantage of or overcome any of those things that come their way, because I've watched them do it. They've done it all season long. When they were reeling, losers of three straight games, dropped that one to Dallas where they played their worst football game of the season. This was do they have a better chance of A, winning a playoff game, B, not making it to the postseason? I remember conducting a poll on Twitter, and I think more people said not making the postseason given the way that they were reeling. They self-corrected. Wasn't a whole bunch of personnel coming back. Wasn't some magical fix other than Jaden Daniels, I think, getting fully healthy. But they ripped off a bunch of wins in a row. A couple of those games they probably shouldn't have won. Doesn't matter. This group is absolutely battle-tested. 800-636-1067. What gives you hope? Why do you believe? Let's go to line one, John in Richmond. John, why do you believe?
I got to tell everybody here that I am a fan of the New York Football Giants for 55 years. But let me take you back to 2007. The Giants limp into the playoffs at 9-7. Mm-hmm. They've got three consecutive road games at Tampa, at Dallas, and then -12 in Green Bay. They win all three, go to the Super Bowl, and beat the 17-0 Tommy Brady-led Patriots. This team does not have any fear, and Jaden Daniels is a hell of a lot better than Eli Manning was at that point in his career. And remember, Eli is going to the Hall of Fame later on this year.
John, I appreciate the call, dude. I got a bunch of guys on hold. I didn't mean to cut you off there. But, yeah, I mean, they're different constructed teams. That
definitely
defensive
different.
Line was
yes.
so incredible, and that defense was hotter than hell, and the offense would do just enough each week. This is obviously built differently, but I see the parallel where you go, you're going to get in a fight with these guys. They're going to compete with you. They're going to make it tough.
Yeah, resilient. I mean, if you're in Detroit, you're talking about this on the ticket today, our sister station in Detroit, I'm saying don't give them a slight chance, because if you give them a slight chance, they'll win it. So if Washington's in it at the end, similar to that Giants team, they'll find a way.
Let's go to line four. John in Chantilly, why do you believe in Washington?
Good evening, boys. How are we doing?
Good, buddy.
Good. Part A, Jaden Daniels is a stone cold killer. I think
yep.
we can all agree on that.
That is correct, sir.
Part B, listen, I think we might be underestimating our coaching staff here. You know, we have Joe Jr., Dan Quinn, Cliff Kingsbury. These guys are all straight gangster ball coaches, and they're getting their team to play along and support this young superstar that we have.
It's the level of buy-in, John. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, we've gone through this a million times on our show, and a little bit, you know, tongue-in-cheek, but every coach has their slogan. Every coach puts up their little sign, or they want their little message out there. Remember Ron Rivera's group, when they were feeling about themselves, they'd throw a rock at the wall, and everyone would go nuts. And you wanted to be where your feet are, and you're not drawing a map unless you've been there. And the guy before had a slogan. The guy before that had a slogan. Everyone's got one. And guys do it or don't do it or kind of in, half out. This is different. Culturally, this is different. Starts with Peters, and then by an extension, of course, it's Dan Quinn down to the assistant coaches. That level of buy-in is rare, and it was frankly what it was like under Gibbs. That's what it was like. Either you bought in or it was your ass, but here, this feels a lot more opt-in for some of these guys. A group of free agents, some mercenaries, some one-year guys have really come together as a culture. Let's go to line two, Musa in Arlington. Why do you believe?
Hey, guys, thanks for taking my call, first of all. How can you not believe? We just keep getting the job done. We're playing with house money. We got nothing to lose but everything to gain. We play four quarters. We're a hard-knock football team. We're well-coached. You know, sky's the limit, man. I think if we beat the Lions, I hope we do, of course, I think we're going to go to the Super Bowl, without a doubt. I hope we don't play Philly again. I like to play LA.
Yeah, same here, buddy. Appreciate you, dude. Yeah, I mean, when I hear no doubt, I kind of roll my eyes isn't the right term, and I'm not ripping Moose at all, but I've heard that. I heard people that are so supremely confident. There's too much data. There's too much information, Tobes, for me to guarantee anything in this game. The point, though, that's not me to be a pessimist. That's not me to be down. I know people usually associate me with being a negative Nancy or a pessimist or whatever. I'm sitting here telling you, this undermanned group 100% has a shot.
Yes.
I want to see. Let's shuffle them up and deal, man. You know, the odds are stacked against you. It's going to be loud. Detroit is excellent. They still got to see us.
Yeah, and the thing, too, is both of these teams, like we talked about earlier, are so similarly made that Dan Campbell's preaching the same thing of house money to an extent, right? Like, we shouldn't be here. They're against us and all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Even though they're the one seed, they're
yeah.
both preaching it.
They're the overdog.
But the thing about it that the last two callers brought up, the coaching, Danny. The coaching has done such a good job, regardless of what the roster is, whether it's great or not. They won 12 games because what they've done is they've put these guys in positions to succeed. They're not asking these guys to go out there and do something that they're bad at. It's what Belichick did a great job for so long. People would go elsewhere, they'd suck, because they're asking them to do stuff they're not good at. Washington's done a great job of putting their guys in positions to succeed. And so are they going to win for sure tomorrow? I have no idea. I know they're going to be put in a position that if they go out there and play their best game, they're going to have a chance to win.
Let's go to Dan in Fairfax, line three. Why do you believe?
Hey, boys. I believe because, like everyone else, Mr. Daniels, but my vibe is more of NBA playoffs, kind of hero ball. Allen Iverson of the world, the LeBron James. The closer we get to crunch time, the more time you put the ball in Mr. Daniels' hands. And I'm special and able to capitalize on that, where maybe during the regular season you spread it out or you didn't use everything. Yeah, and I think the pressure gets ratcheted up and you can advance in the ball.
Dan, I think that's an astoundingly good point. So normally in the regular year, I'm sitting there going, you can't run Jaden Daniels X number of times. You can't have him take these shots. Now, there's no tomorrow. The first time Brian Robinson does it get 4 yards, I'm going, that's it. Yes. Enough. I don't have time to figure it out. Mm-hmm. Jaden, please. You know, the instant one run gets stopped or someone doesn't, or someone misses an assignment, I'm going, enough. Just give it to five, for God's sakes. I don't care how many times he scrambles. If he gets to 20 carries, I'll go, okay, probably not great, but that's fine, because if you don't do it, you may never get a chance to.
When by any means necessary, if you have to go down with Jaden Daniels doing everything for the offense, you live with it.
Yeah, that's called the last 6 weeks. 800-636-1067. John Jansen joins us at 5. Your call's next. Why do you believe? Simple question. Can Washington upset Detroit? They're great. Washington is a huge, heavy underdog in this one. Question is simple. Why do you believe? Next on The Fan.
Coach said he loves the last five, six games. This is why you coach, is to be in those situations where you can pull it out. Sometimes it doesn't work out for you. What's it like for the quarterback of this team when you're in it to win it at the last minute?
I mean, it's like kind of what he says, what you live for. It's what you kind of play the sport for. To when it's time to go out there and make plays, you're going to see who rises to the occasion and make plays. So, you know, we kind of thrive there. Obviously, we would rather go out there and win by 20. But when those situations come up, that's what DQ and them preach so much, and they teach us about situational football, so we're always prepared for those moments.
You know those voices. You know ours as well. It's Grant and Danny here on The Fan, live from Uptown Alley in Manassas. We are hanging out with a bunch of Washington fans. There are a few Detroit-type folks that have infiltrated. They're nice enough. I mean, they get it. I mean, here's the deal. It's easy to be annoyed with a lot of fan bases, Philly, but, like, it's easy to despise certain fans, Dallas, and it's easy to really get irritated at the mere presence of, like, a couple fan bases, Giants, Patriots, but, like, their most fan bases really are fine at the end of the day.
Yeah.
I feel a kinship with Detroit fans, and I mean that, because they've earned it. You know what I mean? Like, they have been through 7 different Shawshank endings. Like 500 yards of fouls. The thing that Andy Dufresne called through, they've done that for 60 years, dude. They've got a Super Bowl trophy case. It's just tumbleweed and a draft in there. They got nothing. They had the most exciting, beautiful football player in history named Barry Sanders, and they couldn't manage to get out of the huddle. You know what I mean? So they've earned it. This Detroit team is excellent. They are awesome. I got friends who are Detroit fans. I'm happy for them. Because there's no arrogance to it, Tobes.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, they're like, listen, we're so starving. We just want it one time. Please, please, please. So there's a kinship there for me where I am not annoyed by this fan base.
Yeah, they're not out there being super brash like other stupid fan bases that get really, really annoying and everything about every single little thing that goes their way. No, I mean, congratulations. They're going through it. They're having a good team for once in their lifetime. So it's awesome to see it for them, but I'd be thrilled to see their season end tomorrow.
Yeah, but you're in the way. Could you move out of the way? Just like kind of slide to the side a little bit. Could you just move real quick? Because we got a thing going on too. 800-636-1067. John Jansen joins us in 12 minutes. Right now, the question is simple. Why do you believe? You heard it in these last couple answers coming into break that Darius has done a great job of putting some audio together for us. But Dan Quinn said it. Terry McLaurin said it. Jayden Daniels has said it. This group is battle-tested. This group has played, won, and lost these close games. They are in these tight games. The moment has not been too big for them. And that's what's exciting, going to a really hostile environment here this weekend. That's my answer anyhow. Let's go to Brian in Herndon. Brian, why do you believe?
Hey, Daniel Tobster. Happy eve of a Washington Commanders W, baby. I am fired up.
Love it.
Love it.
You know why I believe, Daniel? I believe because we have the Washington Commanders magic, man. You know, when was the last time we saw a Hail Mary? When was the last time we saw or heard the doink heard around the world? You know, we got the spirit of Sean Taylor going through all of us, man. We got that guy in our corner. We got Jayden Daniels, the guy's a stone cold killer. We got Bobby Wagner. The guy's got the heart of a lion. He's gonna lead us to victory tomorrow, man. We just need to turn the ball over. We need to play good, strong offense, score some cutties, go for those fourth downs, complete it, score some points, control the ball, control the clock like we've been doing all season, and we're going to be just fine. I'm excited, man.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you. Thank you, dude. Let's go to line five. Don and Ashburn, why do you believe?
What's up, Don?
Danny, before the end of the show, you got to stay play the other guys. Lion tastes good. Let's go get some more Lions.
yes.
Got to do it. Hey, I think the defense has just got to step it up and come after Goff. I think if they do that, do something that we haven't been doing all year and just get reckless with blitzes and coming after the quarterback relentlessly. I think that's what they're going to try and do to be different and win it on the defensive side.
Man, I appreciate the call, dude. Counting on the defense. You know what I mean? Like, it's not to say they can't make a play. It's not to say they can't do anything, Tobes. But to me, I'm going – my confidence comes from the offense. It comes from Jayden Daniels, right? It respectfully does not come from the guys on the defensive side of the ball who are asked to do just enough to me. My expectation, my hope is for them to win, do something, not carry us, right?
Correct.
But that's a tough way to live. Yeah,
I'm not real confident that the defense is going to be able to come up big time in this game, but if you can come up with a couple of stops, you can come up with a couple of ways to keep them out of the end zone, force them to kick a field goal, force them to go for fourth down and stop them. Whatever it is, if you can come up with a couple of ways of doing that and just give it to your offense, sign me up right now.
Yeah, that third and 12 can't turn into a fourth and three.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because that's a first down. They're getting
exactly right.
They're you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
800-636-1067. Line six, Santo in D.C. Why do you believe?
What's going on, gentlemen? The reason why I believe is because watching this team in the beginning of the season and seeing where they're at now, you probably heard the term complimentary football.
Yep.
In the past, we've always had a little bit of an offense, a little bit of a defense. This is quite a bit of a balance with the ball in Jayden Daniels' hands. It's youth. And the wonderful thing about youth is youth knows no boundaries. And I think the team follows around. If you watch what they did against Philadelphia, it was tit for tat. They knuckled up. They played. And if you really watch what they did with Tampa, it was playing the positions, but it was a game plan. Tampa's used to hogging the ball. They were able to take the clock and run it. And Skins against Tampa, if you watch, they flipped the script. They kept them off the field. And they kept it a close game. You're looking out in Detroit. How often has Detroit seen this particular caliber team? not giving them all the credit in the world. But when you look at what Detroit had a problem with Baltimore, I feel that we have a few of those elements that Detroit had some problems with. And because this is a team, this is like the guy that comes to the poker table who you don't know. He can run the table. And with this team, it's adaptive. And I don't think, and I think when it comes to the game time tomorrow, when the Lions face the Redskins and it's all said and done, it's how much are they going to be ready to adapt? And I think that this team is built to adapt, and I think it's enough to pull up the upset.
That's a good phone call, my friend. Thanks for making
it. Appreciate it, man.
800-636-1067. Remember, got John Jansen coming up in a handful of minutes. Want to get Ben in Haymarket in. Why do you believe?
I believe because Jaden has found himself a zen-like space on the football field like no other quarterback we've ever had. I love Sonny. I love Sam and Joe and RG. Kirk, been watching for 50 years. But this young man, Jaden, has found something that I've never seen a quarterback find. Philosophically, I don't know where he's coming from, but he is in a zen-like zone. Nothing gets to him. He is amazing.
That's why I wanted to get that call in. Ben, thanks for making it, buddy. At no time should we take any of this for granted.
No.
It's impossible not to, when speaking about Jaden Daniels, to reference the last similar phenomenon, which was Robert Griffin. Right? While that was happening, it was so enjoyable. It was so joy-filled. It was so fun where the whole league is going, look at this guy. This is unbelievable, right? You're getting texts from friends who are fans of other teams who were jealous, etc. We know more now, but at the time, you felt that energy and excitement. Even with that in the backdrop, this is so different. And it's no disrespect to Griffin. This is something that you can't fathom. This is something that now you know what it feels like to be a fan of some of the best teams in football. Bills, Ravens, Chiefs. And I'm not putting the kid on that level yet because you need a lot more data points, a lot more deposits.
Absolutely.
In the bank. And it's not fair to him, frankly, in terms of those expectations. But watching him be so unflappable, so at peace, so at ease when chaos is surrounding him, when that 4th-and-3 happens and a defensive tackle that has been destroying things is right behind you, and you know what he had for lunch because you can taste that breath on the back of your neck, and he grabs at you, and he only comes away with a towel, and you scamper for the first down because you're Jaden bleeping Daniels, and he ain't. That's different.
I want to know what raises his blood pressure, because it sure isn't getting the ball with 4 minutes to go. It isn't getting the ball first in overtime, having to go win it. It isn't last second you got to come up with a touchdown 10 seconds to go against the Eagles. It's none of those things. I don't know what it is. Like, how does this guy never get rattled? How is he never frenetic? Like, you see this with quarterbacks all the time. It comes down the stretch, and it seems like their hands are shaking and everything. Not Jaden. Jaden, with 10 seconds to go against the Eagles, is laughing at Jalen Carter for diving to try and pick off the spike attempt. Like, what in the world?
Yeah.
He's just in his element. And so that's what gives you confidence going into this, because your leader, your football team, as a rookie, the guy that everything rides on, he's never going to get rattled. Never.
You what if he's like afraid of spiders or something? You know what I mean? Like some really insignificant thing.
You know what it probably is? He's probably the guy that has to turn the light off and run to the bed.
Yes.
So he can't deal with the dark.
Can't be in the dark. Unbelievable. Speaking of unbelievable, the great John Jansen joins this program in about 6 minutes here on The Fan. He'll break down this matchup, played for both franchises. Can't wait to talk to John here in 6 minutes. Grant and Danny on The Fan.